This week, Rematz breaks 24 speed records, and Toyota's next sports car is spotted at Goodwood. Plus, the end of Speed Hunters and Forza Motorsports' uncertain future. But first, Red Bull just fired Christian Horner.
Welcome to the Big Three!
Nice!
We're talking Watto and Star Wars.
Watto,
and
the junk dealer.
Yeah.
Doesn't he, own Anakin?
I think so. Yes.
He was sold Anakin's into a life of slavery.
Oh.
Mm.
Well.
Pick up my junk.
That's what he says?
I don't remember. Welcome to the Big Three, everybody. The number one pod racing podcast in the world. My name is Nolan Sykes, joined as always by Joe Weber.
I was going to do a Jar Jar Binks accent, but. I'm gonna get canceled again.
Fan Bart Bidlingmeyer.
Hey guys, just normal Bart.
We should not have no Boomba.
That's my Jar Jar.
It's not bad, Jar Jar.
We should not have no Boomba.
That's a good one.
When I was a kid, I really wished
wanted to grow up to be Jar Jar.
To be Jar Jar, yeah. No, but I liked their orb technology that they had in that final battle with those energy orbs.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Those are pretty cool.
Did you?
Fascinated by those.
Well, he is the Phantom Menace, after all, you know? Admit
sure.
it. Admit that Jar Jar was the Phantom Menace.
I don't subscribe to that theory, but...
You're not watching the movie hard enough.
You're not paying attention close enough.
Yeah. I paid plenty of attention, maybe too much attention.
He's definitely Sith, dude.
You think so?
Oh, yeah. Hardcore.
Last Wednesday, Red Bull Racing's F1 team announced that team principal Christian Horner had been fired.
We all knew it was coming.
I have an Amazon Echo show. So it's, that's the Alexa, basically, but it's got a screen. And so it'll kind of scroll through. Oh, here's some news that happened. It also gives me a bunch of beach hazard statement in effect until 10 p.m. tonight.
You're not even close to the beach.
No.
No.
But anyways, I'm 7 miles from the beach, but still. Must be a heck of a hazard. But
jellyfish spotted.
What Amazon chose to tell me, it says Jerry Halliwell's husband, Christian Horner, has been fired from F1. That's a... Nice. Yeah,
that's how Ginger you learn Spice. The news.
Yeah. That's a different take than most of the other headlines about this episode.
Yeah, so the news came at the end of a long saga of controversy going all the way back to February of last year that includes issues like sexual harassment allegations against Horner, non-transparent and internal investigations into those allegations, and a ton of team and performance issues.
It doesn't help that his name is Horner, too. He's sending nipple pics to people.
Among other appendages.
Arms.
You call your nipple an appendage? There's some big old nipples.
It's got to be more than a couple inches to be an appendage.
It's like a thick pencil eraser. You got to...
Issues and conflicts within the last 17 months include internal conflicts with major figures on the team, such as Helmut Marko, losing chief technical director Adrian Newey to Aston Martin and sporting director Jonathan Wheatley to Sauber. Both team members were considered key players in Red Bull's success. Adrian Newey is a modern-day legend and had been with the team for 19 years.
That was the death blow for them,
yeah,
I feel like.
Absolutely. Also declined performance since the midseason last year, despite having arguably the best driver on the grid in Max Verstappen. And Max himself seems to be showing interest in other teams. There was some good rumors over the weekend that he was yachting out with Toto Wolff.
Toto was on his private jet, too. You know, once they get on the jet, they're talking.
Well, what else are you going to do?
eat?
Red Bull have now had 3 drivers in the second seat in the last year and a half. You had Checo Perez, Liam Lawson, and Yuki Tsunoda, who haven't been able to keep Red Bull in contention for the Constructors' Championship. And most recently, Red Bull's current F1 car has looked undrivable at times, the team having to make emergency adjustments between practice and qualifying to eliminate issues like massive understeer. It's a dumpster fire over there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You got to get your house in order.
Yeah.
This is good schadenfreude for people who don't like Max, though.
Schauden Freude for Max haters.
Well, Max Verstappen haters.
Even though it looks like he's probably going to be going to a pretty competitive team next.
Well, it's the downfall of like his bread and butter. You know, like he had the fastest car for the longest time, and it was very unfair for a very long time. And now it's just like, sure, he's got a Mercedes spot, maybe. But is Mercedes going to be that fast?
Well, I mean, George has been able to, George Russell, Mercedes driver George Russell, has been able to pull off some pretty consistent podiums and high finishing positions. Good. He's a very skilled driver, but I mean, Max is just on a whole other level too. So Christian Horner led Red Bull for 20 years.
He was the heart of the team for the longest time. He bought, what was it, the Jaguar team? The early 2000s and turned it into the Red Bull team.
Did he buy it?
Well, he brokered the deal.
Okay.
And then, you know, like staffed it. And then within 7-8 years, they were like contending for the title. So he deserves his roses.
Oh, absolutely. He just kind of like really fucked up.
He fucked up. Last year. You got ginger spice at home. What are you doing, man?
Yeah, what are you doing?
And who sends nipple pics? Guy nipple pics. That's the most useless nipple.
So last year, following the harassment allegations, Max's dad, Jos Verstappen, said the team would, quote, fall apart if Horner stayed in his role. And we're kind of assuming that. Yeah, Red Bull is coming off 4 straight world driver championships. So resignations and firings speak volumes to how chaotic the team has been internally and how little confidence there is in the team's future. So, yeah, I mean, it's, look, every, I think, dynasty kind of comes to an end and needs to go through some sort of transformation and rebirth at some point. It's just kind of sad that this is the way that Red Bull's had to go down, you know?
There's different kinds of management styles, and there's the one that's like, I'm going to do everything in the best interest of the team, and I'm going to bow out when it is time, and hopefully everybody lets me know when that is, and I'll listen to them, and then there's the style that's... you're holding on to it so tightly because you're the only one who knows what you're doing. That's what's happened.
You think he was the only one?
No, I think he thought that.
Oh, yeah.
And so I think you're going to get into all of these internal arguments that we're not going to see or hear about because you're, and that's why you're losing people to other teams because it's like, all right, you're not going to listen to me later.
Yeah.
And so that's that. Then things start really falling apart and the person's either going to be like, uh-oh, how do I right the ship? Or they're going to say, good, screw you. I'm the only reason we did any good anyway.
Yeah. Well, I mean, fumbling that hard is crazy. Having the best engineer and the best driver and then losing them both because Jos Verstappen was like playing puppet master in this whole situation.
Puppet master.
You know, in Max's ear, like, you can do better, bud. But on the upside, McLaren's doing great. Lando and Oscar are doing great, and they're looking to win the whole championship, right?
Oh, for sure. McLaren's going to sweep that. I think it's just a question of which McLaren driver is going to do it, you know, which is going to be very exciting, I think. We're going to have a very exciting end to the season.
Yeah, I think it's going to get a little contentious because they're, you know, Lando's not going to give his place up if it comes down to it.
No. And, I mean, let's see. I mean, Oscar was about to win over in Britain, but then got penalized for that weird restart, that 10-second penalty. And I don't know. I think the next race is going to be very, very interesting. Very I like inter-team rivalries. We're kind of seeing, I mean, in the, you know, the way the rules are these days is like, okay, usually one team figures it out better than anybody else. We saw that with Mercedes, Red Bull, now McLaren. Like, we don't have, like, rivalries between, like, Mercedes and Ferrari.
Yeah.
It's like Nico Rosberg and Lewis Hamilton, great rivalry. Max Verstappen and Lewis, but that's only for like one season when the cars were so close in 2021, and then we saw that one terribly. And then now, Oscar and Lando, very exciting.
Yeah,
very
two young chaps.
Honestly, if you're watching F1, you need to be like relishing what we're going to witness this season. What we already have, it's been a really great season.
Yeah,
and you got to acknowledge that while you're in the middle of it.
Compare this season to 2 seasons ago, which was maybe the most boring F1 season of all time. And this is a good season.
Yes, absolutely. Very
also,
good season.
Huge shout out to Nico Hülkenberg for his first podium in 239 races.
Yeah.
Like more than 15 years.
Yeah. I'm trying to remember back on like when we were doing DRS, if I had said Nico was ever going to do it, I feel like I didn't have nice things to say. So great job for proving me wrong. I think.
Yeah. Especially in the state car, which is like not competitive.
Yeah, really, really amazing. That was an amazing race. I mean, that's just another, if it's not like the rivalry battle between, or the McLaren battle going on, like there's usually other interesting things happening throughout the rest of the field. And that's one of them. I mean, really, really amazing job.
We'll be right back after these messages. Now back to the show.
Toyota's long-awaited next-gen supercar made a camouflaged appearance last week at the Goodwood Festival of Speed over in England.
See if you can pick out what is powering it by the sound.
Those sound like V8s.
Yeah.
That's a long car, man.
The hood is really long.
Yeah.
So probably twin turbo V8 with some sort of hybrid system?
I think that's a good guess, Joe.
I'd put my house on it.
Whoa. Okay. It's your landlord's house.
My landlord is my wife, though. Okay. She's going to be mad if I lose.
There aren't a ton of details available about the car yet, but Japanese outlet Best Car.
Just
which
don't
is...
tell her if you're wrong.
Oh, that's true. Yeah. Can I see the deed real quick?
Can I look at it? I've never seen it. Have you seen the deed to the house?
No.
Yeah, it's like one of those. It's like, I don't even know. I don't know what it says on my birth certificate.
Yeah.
I don't
is
know.
It like a
I haven't looked at it.
Pink slip
says
where
Kenya.
You...
Yeah. Well, I just started a birther rumor about Nolan.
Oh, boy.
Nolan was born in Kenya. You'll never be able to run a president.
Nolan Sortero, or what, remember, was like the name that Barry Sortero was the name that they thought was. Oh.
Anyways, I've been Nolan Hussein Sykes.
All right, so there aren't a ton of details available about this car yet, but Japanese outlet Best Car, which is super reliable when it comes to Japanese car rumors, says it will likely have a twin-turbo hybrid V8 making around 900 horsepower.
Whoa.
Joe, good job.
I didn't read this script beforehand.
Toyota isn't saying much of anything, though, and as of now, we don't know if it'll be badged as a Toyota or a Lexus.
I would imagine Lexus.
I would assume a Lexus as well, yes.
Yeah. Because everyone's calling it the spiritual successor to the
LFA.
LFA, which it does, it has similar profile.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I think it looks sick.
Looks amazing. Can't wait
to see it uncamouflaged.
Me either, dude.
I can't wait to get one and put a camouflage wrap on it.
Real tree. Nice. Yeah.
God, that would be so dangerous.
Car internet icon Speed Hunters looks to be closing its metaphorical doors. Numerous outlets like The Drive are reporting the site has been dormant for months and that insiders are saying they've quietly closed up shop.
Wait, does that mean that they've never had a real office?
They may be closing both their metaphorical doors and their literal doors.
Speed Hunters was founded with backing from EA back in 2008 and it quickly blew up and it was one of the first big all-online platforms for car content.
I did not know it was backed by EA.
Me neither. I featured
Electronic Arts made a couple racing games and
Need for Speed.
Yeah, but they feature like a Speed Hunters car.
Yes.
You know, so they kind of integrated
someone
that authority.
On Blue Sky pointed this out, that it's kind of genius what EA was doing with Speed Hunters. I didn't even realize that this was how they did it. Like, they founded this car culture hub online and got to see where the scene was going and then put that into their games before pretty much anybody else in the industry did it. It's
That's
like
pretty cool.
Really
foresight.
Smart.
Yeah.
Yeah. But again, I had no idea that EA was even involved. As we mentioned, Speed Hunters was featured in tons of Need for Speed games. It was one of the sites to showcase car photography from big names like Larry Chen. I think that's where I was first exposed maybe to Larry's work was on Speed Hunters back when I was in high school. Like, oh, this Larry guy really takes a lot of pictures for the site, huh?
Wow, this guy loves photography. Yeah, Larry's been on the Big Three before, friend of the channel.
Taught Nolan how to take pictures of cars.
That's right, a few years ago. Yeah, or a while ago now. Yeah.
Yeah, in my mind, like 2017 is like two years ago.
Yeah, right. I know. It's so much longer than it.
Yeah.
Does it mean any? Does this mean anything? Is this part of a larger trend? Is it just that people aren't going to the internet the way they were?
Hmm. I've been on Speedhunters like a fair amount in the last year, and it was still
as a feature.
As a feature,
they're featuring you. You've been on it. No. Next story.
I've logged on to Speedhunters, and it just felt a little dated. I mean, it was like cool. It was really cool stuff and posts and stuff, but it felt like it was kind of just stuck in 2012.
Yeah.
Which is fine. It doesn't have to. It's a really cool, would you call it a blog?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I would. Yeah.
And a lot of people were like giving their thoughts on Instagram, like, oh, I contributed from this year to that year or whatever. It sucks. But I kind of think that Instagram dissolved it. Right. And all of the contributors are like big in their own right on Instagram. So they have control over their own material. And I feel like it's fine because they're still doing what was on the site.
Yeah. I mean, it goes without saying though, but it is sad anytime like an outlet like this closes, because at least that was like a way people were paid for their contributions,
for
right?
Sure.
For their photography and their stories that they write and all that. Like, it's sad when, you know, just because like Instagram now is the outlet for that, Instagram doesn't pay you for that, you know, like.
No, but people are in control of their own product and they can put out what they want to, and it's directly linked to them. So like if they're a photographer and they put out a post on what they would normally do on Speedhunters or whatever, then they can still get credit for it and maybe get work through that.
Maybe. But also I think it's like Instagram in particular is like so stratified. There's so many talented people on there.
Yeah. It's a little saturated.
And that's not the point. I'm not trying to say it's saturated. I'm saying like it sometimes is just hard to find people, you know, because like one, the algorithm on there isn't really interested in showing you talented people necessarily. It's showing you content that the algorithm really likes, like reels and stuff that are just like total brain rot slop rather than good photography. Like, there's tons of people that we found that work here at Donut through Instagram. But, you know, I think being featured on a site like Speedhunters is a stamp of approval from, you know, at least the editors there.
Sure.
Being like, hey, this person's work is good enough like to be featured on this really big site. And
then,
you know, it is sad that like there are less and less kind of platforms to feature great artists like this, you know.
That's true.
Even if it was like a kind of a psyop by EA to get the inside line on car culture, you know. So,
and that always has like a cool article accompanying it.
Yeah,
like,
I mean, the writing was always
by the
great.
Characters on Instagram,
the photography was always like insane, and just so many cool builds,
a lot of really talented people. So hopefully they're doing fine and moving on.
Yeah. On that note, I think I'm gonna like stop using Instagram. I think I just use it too much. I'm just on it too much.
You know what?
Tell me.
Unk deadass crashing out right now, -1,000 aura right here.
Do the kids use Instagram like that?
That's where I get all my Gen Z talk like that. Unk.
While we're on the subject of speed hunting, Rematch's new $2.7 million Nevera R broke 24 speed records last week during testing at a track in Papenburg, Germany. The 2,107 horsepower EV posted some absolutely insane numbers.
If I was the engineer, I'd be too OCD to not make it just 2,100 even.
Right.
Why do you have to have seven extra?
You want
to
eke out every little
that makes all the difference,
horse you
dude.
Can.
That's seven more horses on there, dude.
Yeah, that's true. Seven horses.
This is now the fastest EV in the world with a top speed of 268 miles per hour. But the other 23 records aren't just for an EV records. They are outright road car records. It took the 0 to 250 mile per hour back to zero record from the Koenigsegg Jesko with a time of 25.79 seconds.
What?
Unreal. Yeah, dude.
Oh, my God.
That's insane. That's awesome. It does 0 to 60 in 1.66 seconds. 0 to 100 in 2.9 seconds. Good Lord. 0 to 200 in 9.25 seconds. Goes 0 to 62 miles per hour back to 0, or 0 to 100 kilometers and 0 again in 3.32 seconds.
That's crazy.
3.32 seconds, dude.
You're whipping your head back and forth when you're doing that.
That's insane.
One, two, three.
Did it.
Unreal. Wild. It's unreal.
Wild. Does a quarter mile in a time of 7.9 seconds. This thing is just an absolute monster all around.
I want to know.
Does the standing mile in 19.71 seconds.
Holy shit.
That's crazy.
I wonder what it does the quarter mile in speed.
How quick and how quick does it gas out? I mean, gas, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Lose juice. When's
it
juice out?
Battery down, yeah. Yeah, that's a good question.
When does it juice out? And riddle me that. When does it juice out?
Oh, and one of the way they got to the number 24 records is also they had a second. They have a separate record for 0 to 60 than they do for 0 to 100 kilometers.
Well, it's two different numbers,
right?
That's right. 60 and 62 miles per hour.
Right.
So there you go.
Right.
Yeah, that's insane. What a cool achievement. These things are just amazing vehicles.
They also
man.
Did it on every day of the week, so they could say happened on a Friday or on a Monday.
That's pretty good.
At 6 a.m. We're the only car to do this at 6 a.m. Another record.
Publication Slash Gear has asked, does anyone actually care about this?
Yeah, this is crazy. Who doesn't care about this? This is crazy.
I can kind of see where they're coming from, but at the same time, like when you put all those numbers next to each other, all those records into one box, it's like, okay. It's just a staggering.
Well, none of this, it's not, again, like these cars, it's not good. Go buy one, everybody.
Mm-hmm.
It's look how fucking cool this is.
Yeah.
Like that's amazing.
The and, ultimate
and
Halo
these cars
build.
Should inform the cars that we will be able to
drive. Oh, I mean, this technology
own,
will eventually
you know?
Trickle down for
yeah,
sure.
That's why we care.
Yeah. Absolutely.
What is Slash Gear? Who cares about Slash Gear? Huh? I'm going to start beef with
Shots
them.
Shots fired.
Bang. Better watch out.
Whoa.
Slash Gear has goons, dude. That is a different connotation now.
Yeah.
Goon.
I bet people at Slash Gear goon all the time.
Okay.
We'll be right back after these messages. Now back to the show.
Bart, you've got a story for us.
Well, I just heard this morning Ford is doing yet another recall.
On what this time?
This time it's on the fuel pump in a ton of, I mean, F-150. That's they sell
a lot of.
A ton of those.
At least like 10, 15
And the Bronco.
Cars.
I think, and maybe a couple others, but it's the fuel pump is something's going on where it's either underpowered or it just kicks off and you can stall out.
That's not fun.
No.
I had my fuel pump in my Mustang was going out a few years ago and I'd just be driving along. It would just kind of die.
Yeah.
Actually getting it started was the main thing. Once it was like going for whatever reason, like the fuel could, it was fine, but yeah, not a good time when your fuel system is having a lot of issues.
No.
Yeah.
But it's also like, what's going on at Ford? It's like, I feel like every week it's a new, Ford's got a recall. So
I wish Ford would make cars, you know?
Oh, yeah. I got some news.
Okay.
So I was tooling around with the Z.
Okay.
And I opened the hood and I realized that the air intake was not even connected to the MAF sensor.
Oh.
There's a gap and it's just been sucking in dirty air and probably not regulating very well.
Okay.
And so I bought a K&N cold air intake.
Nice. Put it on.
I put the fan shrouding on, like you suggested.
Right. Yeah.
And it makes like double the horsepower now.
No
it's
kidding.
Fucking crazy.
Really?
It must have been making like 75 horsepower before.
Wow.
Because it feels like a different car.
Really?
Yeah.
That's awesome.
And I'm like 100% sure is because the MAF sensor was just like sucking in wild air.
Wild hot air, probably.
Yeah.
Yeah. Huh.
Yeah.
That's good. Did you clean the MAF?
No, I got to do that. I just took it for a spin real quick and I was like, what the hell?
Cleaning that off will probably help a
lot. Yes.
And remember, you can use MAF fluid cleaner on your MAF and your throttle blades. You can't use throttle blade cleaner on your MAF.
Yes, you can't use anything that leaves residue
right
on the MAF sensor. And I was hoping that Harbor Freight would have MAF sensor cleaner, but they don't.
I wouldn't trust that. Yeah.
Yeah.
We probably have some here you could get.
I'm going to steal some. Don't worry about it.
Yeah, we've got tons of cans of that stuff. That's great, dude. That's really cool.
So now I'm more excited to drive it. And now it's got a fan shroud on, so I can take it in traffic to work.
That's good.
And put the new exhaust on and put the steering wheel on.
I'm telling you, once if that thing's just been out exposed, it's probably so grimy, you're going to clean that thing off and it's going to run even better.
So nice to done, Joe.
Nice to done.
Apparently my MAF sensor is dirty.
To close out the show, got some sad news. Forza Motorsport's future is not looking great. Microsoft recently laid off 120 employees from Forza developer Turn 10 Studios. A former Forza Motorsport developer with connections to Turn 10 says that the Motorsport franchise is finished, but that the more successful Horizon series will live on. So,
okay.
Yes. What do you think? What do you prefer?
I guess I'm a PlayStation guy, so I haven't kept up with a lot of the games. But you know, on my PC, the last one I bought was Horizon over Motorsport.
Yeah.
Motorsport
going from like Assetto Corsa, and even what's the one that we played forever on the sim?
Project Cars 2.
Cars 2. I like those way better than Forza Motorsport. But Horizon is really fun if you just want to play with friends.
I mean, dude, I used to be a total goon for Forza
Motorsport.
Dude,
you got to stop using that word. It means something different now.
In college, I played a lot of Motorsport 4. And then when 6 came out, like in 2015 or 16 or something, me and my roommates played a ton of that. I thought that was a really great game. That was a really good one. I haven't played the most recent
They're
one.
They're on 7, right?
I believe so.
Yeah.
They're on 8.
Wow.
Wow.
That goes to show how little I care about this.
But Horizon, though, I mean, that does a really good job in the same way of like your Speed Hunters or Need for Speed or whatever, like kind of trying to reflect the car culture now. You know, I mean, they have a few of our cars in there.
Mm-hmm.
Really fun. But, you know, there's so many mods in that game now where it's like, oh, people want to be able to, like, wide body their car. Let's have wide that be possible. Or, like, roll cages and other cool kind of, like, outside-the-box kind of mods for your cars. And I don't know. Horizon is, like, such a huge thing. Like, so many non-car people love that game.
Yeah.
It's just a fun game overall.
It's like GTA.
It doesn't really, it doesn't really rely on, like, knowing tracks or, like, being into racing for it to be successful, you know. So
we were talking about the F1 movie having like clunky exposition, and I feel like Horizon I feel like Forza Horizon does a good job through their missions of
training you,
telegraphing like why this is important, why you need to upgrade, or you know, like it's not, they don't take their audience as idiots.
Mm-hmm.
You know? They're like, oh, you know a little bit about it. Here's some info on it.
Yeah.
Which I appreciate. And it's cool for like little kids to learn.
Mm-hmm. Forza Motorsport launched in 2005 as Xbox's answer to other Simcade games like PlayStation's Gran Turismo series.
Crazy.
Dude, I remember seeing the print ads for that first one. It's like a Lancer Evo up on a lift and some guy's like welding an exhaust or something. I don't know. But I remember seeing that in Game Informer, not Game Informer. In Electronic Gaming Monthly, EGM was sick. GamePro too, like seeing that and be like, being like 10, 12 years old, be like, it's like Gran Turismo's got some competition. Yeah. The series reached a high point with Forza Motorsport 4 that saw the inclusion of narration by Jeremy Clarkson and the Top Gear test track. I remember that. The series' latest installment, Forza Motorsport, commonly referred to as FM8 or FM23, has received mixed reviews. The arcade-style Forza Horizon series has been far more successful than Motorsport, with estimates that the player base for Horizon 5 is 10 times higher than Motorsport 2023, with over 40 million players. Good Lord. Yeah.
Imagine how much more intense it is to make a simulator than it is to do like an arcade-style Horizon. So it's probably a lot more expensive.
Forza Motorsport wasn't competing with Horizon.
Right.
You know,
And so if you're going to get an audience, you're going to go for the biggest audience. Yeah. And the people that Forza Motorsport was competing with were other high-tech sims.
Yeah.
It's like you're saying, Joe, more expensive to make, but it's a more cutthroat fan base of what they do and don't like in a sim.
Yeah, that's true. You know? Motorsport, I think, to your point, Bart, like in a kind of stranger segment, because, you know, if people wanted a console sim racer, they're going to buy a PlayStation and get Gran Turismo. I don't think Forza ever had quite the same prestige as Gran Turismo when it comes to like sim, like bona fides, you know, whereas Horizon Arcade Driver, you know, you can, it has that kind of GTA quality where it's like, hey, there's that mountain over there, I'm going to go jump it off the top. You can go do that, you know, with this game. Whereas Motorsport really, like, you better want to like improve your lap times at Laguna Seca, which in college I was very invested in. But like now it's like, I just want to get home, fire up the PlayStation, drive around
and also
Mexico
if you want to improve your lap times at Laguna Seca, you can do it on any other sim.
There's a lot of other sims out there that have better fidelity. Yeah. You're right. So tough, really. I don't know. Just it sucks.
I'm 20 years. That's a pretty good run
that's
for
a good
franchise.
Run.
Very. Yeah. I mean, definitely, you know, not a lot of other franchises can say the same.
Or one up for turn 10.
What I love doing, what I got into in like 2020 during COVID, being at home playing I think it was Motorsport 4. Was that the one that was in Britain? Yes. 3 was in Australia. Horizon 4 was making patina custom paint jobs. Oh. I got pretty decent at it. It was a lot of fun.
And you use like shapes too.
Yeah. Well, they have like rust, they have like shapes that look like they're very useful for making like rust because they're very just like splatters. And then like, you know, you put like your primer coat down and you put like a really light brown one, then just get like more intense with the oranges on top of it and kind of like move the layers around. And you can make it look really convincing. It's super cool. Man, okay.
Nolan's gonna.
I
go
know what
home.
I'm doing later.
Yep.
You know, Nolan's on the patinophile registry. He had to go and knock on all of his neighbors' doors and
anyone,
tell them.
Yeah, he can't be.
Well, they're gonna. I gotta actually. I need to take the Chrysler home pretty soon.
Of a junkyard.
I need to take the Chrysler home pretty soon. All my neighbors are gonna know. Yeah.
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 Rusty.
Oh boy. Trying to sell the house.
I need to put locks. Car first before I take it home, and I realized someone broke into my truck a few weeks ago.
Oh no!
They take anything?
They did. I had a little tablet called an Odin 2 or something. It's for emulators. So like you load it up with emulators for different consoles, and you can pirate games and like play. Like nobody's selling PS2 games anymore. So it's like I'll just go download it. That's what I had a few games on there. And they took that. It was in my center console.
Oh, man.
I'm sorry, Nolan.
Did they break a window?
No, my truck has manual locks. So like, I always lock the door and check it. But for whatever reason, I forgot to lock it. So it was just an unlocked truck, my shit in there. And they stole my tablet.
Oh, man. Yeah. If you had your emulator, then you probably could play the last installment of Forza Motorsport.
I don't know if it'd be powerful enough for that. But yeah, you're right. Right track. Steam Deck could probably play it.
Steam Deck is what I call a porch that I poop on.
Nice.
You're hogging the bathroom. Go use the Steam Deck. All right.
Okay, Watto.
All right, so that's going to do it for our show. Thank you so much for tuning in. Tuning in. Like you're tuning your dial on your YouTube app to find the right frequency.
Oh, that's a cool mod.
That would be kind of cool. Okay. thanks for watching, guys. Give us a like and a follow and review on the platform of your choice. You can follow us at Donut Podcasts and our personal accounts. You got Bids Bardo, Joe G. Weber, and Nolan J. Sykes. You can check out our other show, Past Gas. It's our history show. This week, we kicked off a 3-part series on the history of Porsche.
Oh, yeah. It's so good.
That's a good one. Good deep dive on the brand. That episode, a little depressing, right?
The first one, sell it, Nolan. Come on.
It goes into some darker subject.
Historically
matter.
Depressing, mm. but a very compelling story.
And Ferdinand Porsche invented a lot of stuff. Like he wired his house when he was like, 16 or something like that?
Younger
than that.
Yeah.
He invented the first hybrid vehicle.
And the
gas
first
hybrid.
Porsche was electric.
That's right.
It won the first race it ever entered.
Anyway, go listen to it. It's a great series. Excited for that. We'll see you next time.
Bye.